Moto America fans, it's time for another episode of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you may even learn something from this unlikely pair and their special guest. The mic is yours, Paul and Sean.
Hello, everybody. It's Paul Carruthers, and I'm joined, as always, by Sean Bice on this week's episode of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. It's our weekly Moto America podcast. Today's special guest, you can see him down below there, is Hayden Gillum. Now, Sean, I think this guy had it's hard to think of a guy that had a better season in Moto America than this guy did. And I'm talking about not last year. Last year, obviously, had the best season. But over time, I mean, he was a King of the Baggers champion and Stock 1000 champion. Doesn't get much better than that. Right. And now he's had this off season. Why don't you tell us what he's got going, Sean? Because it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we knew that he was going to be defending that number one play in Mission King of the Baggers. But now, as of the announcement, he is going to defend his Stock 1000 championship with that number one on that. Well, actually, Hayden, are you going to have the number one on the bike?
I'm not sure yet. I'm trying to figure that out. Because I'm wanting to do some superbike stuff too, but we're trying to figure out if we're going to do superbike or superbike cup. And if I do cup, I can't run the number one plate because all this stuff for the superbike side comes off out of Stock 1000, and then they can't have two number one plates out there. So I don't know. We're working on it, trying to just see what the sponsors want to do. And yeah, I don't know. I'd like to run it, but it's not that big a deal to me at this moment. I just want to get on track and go riding.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this. So as much as, and I want you to run that number one plate too, but you've got the number one plate on the Harley. So let's just say you don't run the number one plate and you run your number 69 on a Honda. I mean, it just gives me chills. You have to be the, there's been nobody else, Pat, other than Nikki, that's had 69 on a Honda. Did you ever have 69 on a Honda?
It's been a long time since I've rode a Honda.
Right.
Yeah, I don't. I think last time I was on a Honda was amateur days. I think maybe 2009, 2010. So it's been a little bit.
What was your flat track bike the year or 2 years? Suzuki?
I rode Suzuki's. I did run a Honda on in 2011, I think, or 2012 in flat track. But I haven't rode a Honda in a long time other than, I've got my Honda Grom that I put around on sometimes, but other than that, I don't have anything Honda.
And so you had a hat and a shirt. You had a hat and a shirt laying around somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I pulled these out of the archives.
In addition to the team being new, it's also got the longest name I've ever seen in the history of motorsport. I was talking to Sean yesterday. I'm like, God, how many times am I going to screw that up? So we're going to have to think of something different.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever we were talking about team names and I was having a hard time. We talked about team names for a while. I was trying to just do like an acronym or something, but I don't know. We're gonna have to figure that out for sure. It's just need a picture to pop up, and that's gonna be it.
But, right?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We're gonna have some discussions and maybe see if we can shorten it down or condense it a little bit, but we'll see.
Well, just the name of the bike itself, a Honda CBR 1000 RR hyphen R SP Fireblade. So, or Fireblade SP.
It's like the pirate bike, the RRRRRR.
Yeah, it is that way. It is that
way. Yeah. That's what I told a buddy. I was like, you got to talk like a pirate whenever you say it. You got to R and just draw it out.
But hey, listen, let's go back to this for a minute because I know it's something that you thought about that 69 on Honda. And I don't want to point this out because occasionally we've had people, as you know, that don't are uninformed and they'll make some comment about how can this guy run 69 or anybody run 69. And I don't know, maybe they can say it to Danny Eslick, but for you, it's different. Now let's talk about something that I don't know if I've ever completely asked you about this, but the reason your name is Hayden, the reason you run 69 is obviously because of the Hayden family. Your mom, Carrie Gillum's last, was her maiden name Hayden, or is she part of, how is she the family?
So my mom is first cousins to Tommy and Nikki and Roger and all of them. My grandpa is Earl's brother. My grandpa Marty is Earl's brother. So it's all tied in through my mom's side of the family. And so they named me Hayden after that side of the family. And then whenever in Christmas 2000, we, Uncle Earl and my grandpa both got us all of our first bikes, and, you know, they rolled them into the house and had 22, 69 and 95 on them because there was three of us and three of them. And so that's kind of, it's, you know, it's been like that for, I don't even know. I don't want to say too long. 20 something years. So
right.
I've had to stick with it. And like, you know, Danny's Eslick has ran 69 longer than I have. So, you know, I got for the 200, I always give him the nod to run 69 because I know he's going to be in there. And in the past, whenever we've been in the same classes, I try to give it to him because he's had it longer than I have. So,
wow, that's nice. But, I didn't know that. What's the situation with Sammy Halbert? Because he runs 69 in American Flat Track too, right?
Yeah, which he runs that for his brother, Jethro.
Right, Jethro, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So, I've got a number plate back there that's got 169 on it for flat track stuff. But yeah, that's part of the reason I don't run too much flat track. Just don't want to have to run it in a number situations.
right. But this situation with Honda, I mean, I'm sure at an early stage when you were going to ride this bike, it occurred to you, oh, I'm going to have 69 on a Honda Nikki. I mean, you had to think about it, right?
Honestly, I hadn't thought about it until like a couple of days ago. And so I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it. And I know and it hasn't been too long since there was 69 on a Fireblade. It'll be really cool. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about it, but, I haven't thought about that side too much. I know I've seen other people say stuff about it or had other people say stuff about it, but, to me, that's not something I've thought about too much. I've just been more interested in getting, you know, we're kind of on the back foot on it. It's taken a while to get this program put together, and we haven't had the bike, but for a month and a half, and a lot of the parts and everything have been on back order. And so like right now, as of this morning, the bike has an exhaust, the suspension's got, you know, it's got race suspension on it, and that's it. I don't even know if we have an extra set of wheels or anything yet. All the stock bodywork's still on it. Whenever we've gone to the track, we've had to safety wire the rear sets so they wouldn't fold up while I was riding it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's stock.
So. Yeah. It's a 23 though. I understand they don't really have any 24s. Is that right?
No, the 24s, to my understanding, aren't going to be here until July or late. I mean, by the time you got one and got it ready for the race season, it'd be the end of the season. So that's my understanding of how it's going.
Right.
So yeah. It's obviously getting late in the off season. Was it a case of it took a long time to put together, or you started talking about it late, or a combination of those?
We've had it together for a little while, but there were no bikes. There were no bikes in the country. And the bike literally showed up to the dealership in down at Southern Honda in Chattanooga at the end of January, like the very end of January. And the day it showed up, we drove up there and got it. And right now we only have one bike. And so it's just been the getting everything together and getting everything here into the country has taken a long time. And that's kind of where it's been slow going. And we didn't have the bike, we didn't have the budget yet. And so a lot of the parts we couldn't get ordered. And so now everything's starting to show up and we're going to go test here in a week or two and hopefully we'll have a full race prep bike.
Now how many times have you ridden it? Just the once?
Yes. Like we did 2 full days of testing on it and Homestead at the week before Daytona. And then at Daytona, I stayed on Sunday and did some tire testing with Dunlop and got to spin a few laps on it around the high banks, which was eye opening. I've never rode 1,000 around that place, so it was a little nerve wracking. But you don't realize how it's like the top speeds aren't that much different, but that 1,000 man gets up to speed fast, like. I think it was showing like 186 on the banking up in the corners. Like it turns the banking into an actual corner. So it's
right.
It's very nerve wracking. And those things, it's got so much power. It's moving around a lot more than what a 750 is or a 600 or even the bagger. And I came in and immediately told Summer and told Mark and the guys, I was like, man, I've never been that. I've never been scared before. And those walls, all of a sudden that track is wide and all of a sudden those walls and everything get real close fast. But yeah, so I've got some laps on it. But it's a long ways off of where it needs to be. Like, I mean, the times aren't that far off of what I felt were good. Like JD and Cam Beaubier and them were down there testing at Homestead. And so I had a kind of a reference to go off of, and I had tested there previously on the bagger. So I knew what times I was doing on it. And I felt like the times were as good on the Honda in street form, pretty much as what, I might've been able to go a little bit faster on my full, championship winning bike from last year, but I wouldn't say much, if at all. So, I mean, the bike's really good. There's some little things that being new and us getting used to it that we were trying to figure out. But, I mean, it seems like a really good package. I came in the first session and told Mark, I was like, man, this is going to be really good once we get it. Once I get myself kind of wrapped around it and get it sorted. And it's going to be interesting. And, I mean, Honda's come in big this year with a really good contingency program, and Southern Honda down there has helped a ton. They got us the bike. I got a couple 450s. They've been putting a lot of support into this, and they've been pushing Honda also to help as much as they can. And so having them on board and then having Honda also has been really good. They're helping with some parts and everything, and obviously Honda's done a good job. The bike, people think the bike's going to be really competitive, and then they're putting the money behind it. And now you can see there's quite a few Hondas that are going to be out on. So there's going to be a lot of red at the front, I feel like.
Yeah, that's been interesting. I mean, it sort of happened with BMW, you saw what what they did, and there's a bunch of those in stock 1000. Now it's crazy how many Hondas are going to be out there. And there's a couple that, or at least one that hasn't really been announced yet. So it's impressive how they're jumping right in again. So comparing it to last year's Suzuki, it's gotta be, I never know how you guys do this anyway. Cause I mean, if I ride a motorcycle, I can't remember what it felt like from the day before, but can you compare it to what you had last year at all?
I can. It's hard though, because it's been almost 6 months since I rode the Suzuki, which right. I've raced the Suzuki for a long time, and so I know that bike really well.
Right.
I just from the first couple sessions, I felt like the handling was pretty similar. It's hard though, because it has all the stock stuff still on it, so all the rear sets were a little too high for my liking. We had to stack a couple seat pads on top of each other just to get me to where I wasn't so cramped up. But then because of that, I felt like I was way too much over the front. And then we were trying to go off of the geometry. We were trying to base the geometry off of the Suzuki, and immediately, that was wrong. It didn't feel like it should. So we had to kind of go back to the drawing board and change it. Like it's going to take a little bit of time just to get me used to it. But a lot of it is just because the ergonomics, how I sit on it and how I feel is right now is just off, because it's bone stock versus how it's going to be once it has race body work, race rear sets, race clip-ons, has all the bells and whistles on it. So I'm excited to get on it again and test it. And now that once it has all the race parts, because then I'll be able to tell quite a bit if it's a lot different or if it's pretty similar. I know right off the bat I could tell the power, like the thing that whenever you get on the gas, it's real mellow, but where the Suzuki hits pretty hard on the bottom, the Honda is really mellow, but then once it gets going, it goes and it just pulls and pulls and pulls and pulls. And so like my first time on it at Homestead, going down one of the straightaways, it felt like it was just pulling forever. It never got to a point where it started tapering off. And so it was eye opening for sure on the power side. But as far as getting comfortable on it, it's just, we're kind of still in that dead spot of getting parts and everything to where I can actually get on it and make it mine.
Yeah.
Looking at the photos, is it physically smaller than the Suzuki?
It does look smaller, but I don't know. I felt like I could get tucked in a little bit better on it than the Suzuki could. But again, it's hard to say just until I get everything situated how I want it. It's hard to say. It definitely felt shorter. Like it felt like it was a little more compact this way, just because I felt like I was so over the front, where the Suzuki, I felt like I was pretty relaxed on it. Just from like my tuck is always an important part for me, especially whenever we go to tracks like Road America or Road Atlanta or Coda or somewhere like that, where with some straightaway, and that was the first thing. Whenever I sat on it, I tucked in, and like the arms were kind of back behind it, and my shoulders didn't seem like they were way up above the bubble or anything, and my head was down in it. And so it seems pretty spacious. I run my bars really far out, more almost like they're set up almost like motocross, and so I couldn't get those quite as far out as I would have liked. So I'm hoping the race bodywork has a little bit more space to do that. But I don't know. It does look small. It looks skinny. And I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. Because if the bike looks small and skinny, it's probably going to make me look even bigger than I already am.
It's funny, Hayden. You actually brought something up that I didn't know. But you're talking about the bars being more straight out. That's pretty interesting to me, because the other rider I know that always did that, you may know this, is Tony Elias. And I mean, talk about stature. You guys are at almost opposite ends of the spectrum on that. And he liked his bars way out wide because he liked the leverage on it. I always wondered how he was able to reach that far out. Obviously, you don't have a problem with it, but is it for leverage for you better than anything?
We always did it whenever we were on 125s and everything, just so I could get my elbows in. And as I've gotten older, I just got used to it. And then, you know, now if I go and ride just a regular, you know, if I go ride somebody's track day bike or something, they've got their bars pulled in, I feel like I get bound up, like my shoulders get all kind of hunched in and my elbows are all tucked in and I can't really move on the bike. So I always try to widen them just to kind of be more comfortable, and it allows me to move a little bit more. And then also for the leverage, it is quite a bit more leverage. You're not bound up in here.
You're right
out here and kind of pull on it and push on it more. I know there's quite a few guys that like to run them out a little bit. I didn't know Tony liked his out that much, but yeah. I could see it, especially, you know, with him being so small, but he's stout. Like the more leverage for him would be, it's gotta be better. And then I feel like with your bars out more, you can get a little more brake force, 'cause you're not bound up. Your arms aren't kind of tucked in against you. It's like doing a push up with your arms out a little bit wider versus narrow. So, it's something we've always done. And now I'm just kind of stuck with it. If I try to do anything narrow, I get bound up and I can't ride the thing.
You know what, I wanted to point out something else. So you got some continuity going for you, and you have for a while. I mean, you're changing brands this year, but you, Mark Young, was your crew chief at Daytona. He was your crew chief last year, if not the year before that, and he's going to be your crew chief going forward. So you've got a lot of continuity with the same guy who knows what you like, who knows how to work with you. So that's got to be a real great advantage for you, I would think, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, Mark's really laid back. I like to feel laid back. And we work together good. We talk good with each other. We know each other's language. And whenever I say something, he knows what I want. And then I've got the same chassis tech, Rob Hancock. And it's going to be good. 'Cause not only, you know, learning a new bike, learning the new electronics and everything, it'd be even more if I had to learn new crew and everything. So it's going to be really good. It's going to make the process quite a bit faster. And, Mark's the one that's building the bike and everything, so I trust him with everything. And he's done a good job the last couple of years. And yeah, it's going to be, it makes life a lot easier for me and everybody. So I'm happy about it.
Is Road Atlanta a good track to be starting something like this, or would it be better to start somewhere perhaps a little easier? I mean, not that you can change the schedule, but what are your thoughts going to Atlanta? Is it like, okay, let's just see what we can do here and move on, or are we going to be okay right away?
I'm good with Road Atlanta starting, just because it's only Superbike, which, I mean, obviously I want to do good in it, but I'm not going straight into the first stock 1000 race of the year and then doing Superbike and then doing baggers also. So I think it'll be good. And really, I feel like because it's not super fast flowy, it's a lot of just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then you got a couple of 90 degree corners. And I feel like having a new bike, I can muscle the bike around a little bit more there, and then use the legs of the Honda to get me down the straightaways. And it seems like it brakes really good. It's really stable under braking too. So I think it's going to be a really good track for it. And I think you're going to be able to see pretty quick how good this bike is. And obviously last year, Jeff always goes really good at Road Atlanta. And, you know, he put the Honda on the box there in the stock 1000 races. So it should be a really good weekend for us. And he was even on a little bit older model. So I'm excited about it. And I always like Road Atlanta. I'm going to have a ton of friends and family down there. So it should be a good weekend for us. Pretty laid back. And then with it being just Superbike and baggers, I'll be able to focus on getting the bike ready for Barber for the first stock race.
Yeah, I mean, Roger always said that Road Atlanta was kind of a home track for you guys. I mean, it's fairly close, so you always felt that way, right?
Yeah, Road Atlanta, Barber, and even now that we're going back to Mid-Ohio.
Mid-Ohio, yeah.
They're all in that circle of, you know, 5-6 hours. So everybody always travels to those. One thing that sucks, my grandpa, he's actually going to be him. They booked a cruise to go over, I think, to like the Netherlands or so, somewhere over there for some flower festival. And this is going to be his first time he's missed Road Atlanta in 30 years.
Wow.
And so he's pretty bummed about it, but it'll be good. A bunch of all his whole crew is still going to be down there. And I'm going to have a bunch of buddies and their wives and kids down there for the races. And my majority of my family should be down there. So it's going to be a good weekend. I'm excited about it. But yeah, it always seems like a home race, especially with it being one of the first ones of the season.
Right. So we can't not talk to you about baggers. Daytona didn't go great, fourth and fifth, but I have a feeling that's okay. I mean, you come out of there with points in both races and you kind of move on. I also felt like watching you at Daytona, there's a lot of pressure on you to get the infield right and to stay with those guys, or you know you're screwed. And you made a couple of mistakes and it was enough for them to get away and then you're done. Is that an accurate representation of how Daytona is for you?
Yeah. And man, I was so frustrated especially after the second race. I told him before the weekend, I was like, we just got to get out of here with points. But it was a bummer because fourth and fifth obviously isn't how I wanted to debut, running with the number one plate and running with Revzilla and Motul being the big sponsors for the Vance Hines guys. But it was an overall good weekend. We got the bike pretty. I feel really, really good on the bike. And I mean, if you watch the first race, like I was able to put the thing pretty much wherever I wanted to on the infield, and I just would lose it on the banking, and the guys know it. And, you know, they're working on some stuff, but, I mean, we made big steps from last year. Last year, Kyle beat us by like 6 or 7 seconds in the second race. And this year I was able by myself to run similar lap times to those guys. Like whenever I would, you know, my best laps in the race were usually at the very end of the race whenever I was trying to catch back up. And, the infield, obviously I had to get right. And especially whenever I would make those mistakes, I had to make sure to hit the infield perfect, just to make up any kind of time I could to get back to them and hope that they were going to start fighting. And, I don't know. I feel good. I think Coda is going to be a good showing for us. I think with it being a little bit more technical and only having a couple straightaways, not, you know, half the lap being a straightaway, is going to be a big deal for us. And, we've made a lot of progress on the bike in the off season, and I've actually got laps on it now, where, you know, going into the season last year, I had 0 laps on the bike. So coming away with the second and third last year was really good for me. But you know, we got to Road Atlanta and had a couple issues, and Road America had a couple issues last year, where this year, I think we're going to already, I feel like we can actually fight with them. Last year, we were just hanging on, trying to stay with them. This year, I've already was able to fight with them and be part of the group. And, you know, those guys said something about, you know, it being a four. At one point, Kyle said something about it being a four dog fight or something between the two Indians and the two Harleys, and it pissed me off. And and then, you know, so the good news is, like, I'm glad, you know, Troy did really good, and I was at the test with them at Homestead, and talked to him a little bit there, and just from watching him there, I thought he was going to be really good. He's super smart and obviously has a ton of experience, and is, I mean, he was going quick at Daytona, you know, just a couple mistakes and that cost him a couple races. But it's going to be a good season. I'm excited about it. I'm excited to get Dakota and in front of the MotoGP guys, and show them how we battle. It's going to be a dogfight. Y'all saw the races from there last year, how crazy they were. And I feel like this year we can actually do quite a bit more with our bike and be a part of that front fight. So it's going to be fun. The Indian guys seem like they've got their stuff together, and the Harley guys, James and Kyle, are going to be going fast. They always are. So, I'm just ready to get going. I was itching the whole time before Daytona to get going. We got to do some testing and I felt really good, and I hated sitting around waiting, and we're kind of back in that situation again where we're sitting around waiting. I know the boys at the shop aren't sitting around waiting. They're working, but it's, I don't know. I'm happy with how we came out of Daytona. I'm only, a race back points wise. So I'm ready to get to some tracks where it's not just horsepower. So
you also have a young, inexperienced teammate in Rocco Landers. And I know Terry liked the combination of having you and Rocco because he thinks that you're going to embrace that like dad role, mentor role, and you're not insecure about where you stand in life. So it's like, it's not going to bother you. You're actually going to embrace it. Do you feel that too? Like, do you feel like that's something that you can really help with?
I hope so. I don't know. We'll see. Rocco, I like Rocco a lot. He's, I've never really been around him much until this year. So it's a learning experience. He's a firecracker. He's wide open all the time. And so we got to chill him out a little bit. And we had a team meeting before the season or before the weekend really got going. And after that, I talked to him. I was like, hey, man, just focus on the Twins Cup bike, get that thing going. Cause it was their first time on track with the Twins Cup bike. And obviously he did really good on that. And I told him, I was like, man, Daytona's a tough track. And if you lose the draft on the baggers, you're done. And I was like, so just do what you can. He picked up a ton in race one and was back there for a while, or was back there really the whole time, just off the back. And race two, I can't remember how exactly race two happened, but he's going to pick it up. He picked it up really fast in testing, and then throwing a whole nother bike into the mix at Daytona was a big change for him again. So it's going to take a little bit for him to get it kind of sorted, but he's super smart and thinks about everything on the bike a lot. So he'll be able to figure it out. It's just going to take a little bit. I think Coda's going to be really good for him just because he'll only have to focus on the bagger. I don't know if Twins Cup is at Road Atlanta, but we'll see. He'll figure it out. And I know the team's excited about having him. They know he can ride really good. I need him to get up there. I needed him to help me out a little bit in qualifying at Daytona, but that's all right. He'll get there, and at Coda, I think we'll be able to see a little bit more what he's got in the tank. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah. You mentioned you went like 186 on the Honda at Daytona, but you were going nearly that fast on the baggers this year. And I had noted that only 2 years ago, you guys were going about 14 miles an hour less than that. So did you feel how much faster you guys were going this year, or that it's pretty darn fast on those baggers?
Man, it really, on those bikes, it really doesn't feel that fast. They're so stable that the only time you really notice that you're going that fast was like in race two. I felt like I wasn't going that fast, but at the very last lap, I passed Tyler, and he blew my doors off coming to the line. And I realized how fast he was going, but those bikes, they really don't feel like you're going that fast. And that's the crazy thing. And that's what I tell people is like, these things are so good and they're so stable and they work so well, and they've got such good parts on them and everything now that you don't have to even try to do it. It just comes. So it's crazy. I mean, we and that was one thing we talked about. We made big steps from last year to this year. We gained, you know, 4 or 5 mile an hour by ourselves. And so and that's the crazy thing too, is that every year these bikes are getting better and better and better and faster and faster and faster. So it's getting harder, but I mean, it's fun. It's a lot of fun developing the bikes and being a part of it. So I'm enjoying it, and they are super fast, and being able to show the fans what these things can do is pretty crazy. And on the Honda, on that test day, 186 was on, like, out of the chicane in the middle of the banking, like in between three and four, the think top speed was almost 195. So,
wow.
Yeah. It was so fast. The thing, every lap I'd come around, I could see black marks from where I'd been the previous lap.
Wow. Like,
it was just, yeah, it was pretty wild. So yeah, that Honda's got a little bit more steam than the other ones.
Okay. Well, that's one of the things that we always struggle with, is when, you know, I'll keep track of trap speeds. Well, most of the time to trap speeds at our tracks, where they have it isn't the top speed of the bike. I mean, you guys generally will go faster somewhere else. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Normally, you know, it depends on, you know, it depends on the straightaway that it's on or whatever. And like Road America, normally the trap speed, I think it's at the end of the front straight, and the front straight's not the fastest straightaway on the track, because you're going uphill the whole time.
Right.
And, you know, normally, and I mean, sometimes it can be if we have a tailwind, but then other times the going down into turn five could be the fastest straightaway, because we might have a tailwind there, or it depends on, you know, where it's placed, because it might be placed too far in the straightaway or too early in the straightaway. So we might just be going through it as we're still accelerating. Or I know sometimes it's placed a little too far back to where we might start braking right as we get to it. And so it's kind of, I mean, yeah, the trap speed is, it's good to see, but it's never always 100% accurate. So, and there's always variables to what's causing different trap speeds, drafts, headwinds, tailwinds. If you came out of the corner.
Draft,
yeah. So, and that's the big thing. That's the big thing I noticed between the Honda and Suzuki, is that the Honda, once it gets going, it accelerates so fast. And I never really understood it until I got on the bike, because that was always like the top speed between the Suzuki and BMW.
Sean.
I hope he's still there.
That was where I always felt like I was losing out. So now I felt that, and so after we tested the bike, I was excited. I called like Jerry Nickel. I talked to Mark about it. Sean Fisher from Steel Commander. It's I was excited about it. So it's going to be fun. I kind of wish I. You know, once we get it on track and really see what it's got, I kind of am wishing I could have this bike a couple years ago. But yeah, we'll see.
Before we cut you loose, I think it's interesting to see where you've come from, right? Because I remember the man with the van and not a very good plan. And since then, things have changed so much. I mean, you have a wife, you have two kids. You have a good Baggers ride. You now have a good stock 1000 ride. I mean, it's a pretty good time to be Hayden Gillum. And it wasn't, I felt like you were so close to it not being, your future not being the same that it is now. And somehow you've turned it all around and it's all fallen into place. And I think that's really cool, because it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. But talk to us a little bit about that. Is that kind of how it was for you?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, whenever I turned pro, you know, the series was kind of all of motorcycle in America was kind of going downhill. And so, like, there weren't really a ton of opportunities and all that. And at the time, you know, I was 16, 17, 18, not really, you know, I, I was still in high school and wanted to be part of, you know, I wanted to be part of the friend group at school and didn't focus a ton on racing. And, I mean, honestly, I didn't figure it out. I didn't really start thinking about racing as a possible actual like living until I met Summer. And, you know, before then I was just having a good time going riding motorcycles, making enough money to get me from track to track in my van. And, yeah, I mean, it was, I don't know. And like I, you know, turned 21 and everything and was drinking too much and partying and everything. And, you know, my family was always trying to get me to chill out. JD was always like, you gotta get your head straight. And, everybody was always telling me, you know, what I needed to do. And I was in that kind of rebellious phase and I was like, ah, screw that. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to have fun and I'm going to eat what I want and drink what I want. And, yeah, I was a hot mess there for a while. And once I met Summer and once I got with the Ridiculous guys, everything I kind of, you know, at that time I was living out, in Josh Hayes's condo and I was around Josh a lot and Melissa and, I had some good people around me and they kind of got me steered in the right direction. Josh had a lot of talks about it. And, you know, he was a big part in it. And, yeah. And now, you know, and then I got out of racing and have gotten back into it. Had a really good opportunity with Jesse from Disrupt. And, now I'm in a really good spot, a couple babies, a garage full of crap and a really good home life. And, it is crazy. I think about it. Me and Summer talk about it every now and then. And I tell her, I'm like, if you wouldn't have come around, I'd still be in this dark hole. And, I don't know where I'd be.
It's amazing, Hayden. I think about that. I mean, some riders, they'll get a girlfriend, they'll get married, they'll have kids. It really changes their life. I don't mean for the worse. It's a different priority, but their race craft, their racing kind of goes downhill because they realize they've got a wife to worry about. And you even kind of intimated that a couple of years ago that you've got other things to think about. Well, it's to your point, it's actually made a better situation for you. And I love the fact that it's moved your racing forward. Plus you got an awesome wife and two beautiful kids. So
and you got to feed them, right? You got to make money to feed the family. I think it makes you go faster.
That's what I feel like once, I mean, that was part of the whole, you know, that was a big reason of me getting back, you know, making sure to come back into it. I had a good job here and, you know, was able to pay bills and all that. And, but you know, I didn't love it like I love racing. And once I had Stone, I didn't want him to think, you know, how at that time I was thinking he would probably grow up and it'd be very coincidental that we had him and I stopped racing and all that. And I didn't want him to have it in his head that he was the reason I stopped racing. And, you know, because of him, I actually, like before, I never thought about the money or anything. I didn't want to ask for money. I didn't want to do like, so everything, it was always contingency based. It was always on the back end. I had to perform in order to get it. And that was, you know, I'm sure y'all remember I crashed a lot with Ridiculous and everything. And so whenever I got back into it, I made sure with, you know, the sponsors that I was getting so much up front. So I, you know, because I have a kid and a wife and a house and everything, I've got to pay bills and I didn't want to have to race and work at the same time to make sure I could do both. And I wanted to make sure I gave everything to this. And so because of that, I was able to push for myself a little bit more and it's made me, you know, I didn't have to go out and win. I didn't have to get on the podium every time. I just would do what I could do with the bike I had. And it's shown a lot in the last couple of years.
It's a better plan.
Yeah. And I mean, I obviously I want to be faster than everybody else, but there's just certain tracks at that time that I just couldn't do it. Just like with Daytona on the Bagger, I had the speed to be there, but I don't think I, even if I was in the mix at the finish there, I don't think I would have been able to win. And so, it's been really good, and it's helped me mentally because I'm not stressed about that so much anymore. I'm able to go ride and do what I can do. And if I don't have to over push or override and put myself on the ground, because I can't now, because if I get hurt, nobody's going to be able to provide for, I mean, Summer, luckily because of this, she can stay at home with her, with two kids and take care of them and take care of me. And, we've got a good thing going. And so now I can't jeopardize that by going out and getting crazy and blowing myself up. So, it's made everything work. Everything's a lot smoother. I'm a lot more relaxed. I don't get all fired up as much at the track anymore. And, yeah, it's been really good.
And two number one plates on the bike. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it's so good. So we're really happy for you.
They're going to cut us off here in a minute. Our Zoom contract is for like an hour, and I think we're right about that. So Hayden, I wanted to thank you for coming on. I'm totally stoked for you and how everything's changed for the better, and you're in a good place, and you'll take care of Uncle Terry and get him some good results. And I think everyone will be happy. So thanks for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you at Road Atlanta.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Hayden.
Looking forward to seeing you guys.
All right. Say hi to JD Beach for us.
I will.
Bye-bye.
See ya.